As I shared with the children, today the church celebrates Trinity Sunday, our understanding of the one triune God in three persons, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. In the satirical newspaper The Onion, an article appeared with the title, God Quietly Phasing Holy Ghost Out of Trinity. As the article states, calling the Holy Trinity overstaffed and under budget, God announced plans Monday to downsize the group by slowly phasing out the Holy Ghost. Given the poor economic climate and the unclear nature of the Holy Ghost's duties, I felt this was a sensible and necessary decision, God said. The Holy Ghost will be given fewer and fewer responsibilities until formal resignation from the Trinity duty following Easter services next year. Thereafter, the Father and the Son shall be referred to as the Holy Duo. We laugh at this joke, but the humor of its satire lies at the fact that most of us do not know what to do with the third person of the Trinity. The day after Sunday's Pentecost worship, my daughter whined and trembled as we prepared to go outside to head to school. When I asked her why she resisted, she said, "I'm afraid that the Holy Spirit wind is going to get me." You're right to be afraid, my child. And as if we do not have enough names in God's name jar to grapple with, the Proverbs text gives one of the few biblical examples that adds a feminine representation of God. In the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, wisdom was called Sophia. Proverbs shows Sophia as working alongside the Lord at the beginning of creation. She stands at the crossroads and beside the gates in the front of the town. Her call? Prudence for the simple ones, a mouth that utters truth, and a wisdom far better than jewels. The wisdom sayings throughout Proverbs have a folksy common sense to them. Doing wrong is like sport to a fool, but wise conduct is pleasure to a person of understanding. Or this one, which is not the kindest toward women, but is too colorful not to mention. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who is without good sense. Here's one I really like. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but those who are kind to the needy honor God. And then this, whoever belittles another lacks sense. But an intelligent person remains silent. In most of our cultures, we have sayings such as these. During the announcements, I will invite any of you who have wisdom proverbs to share from your language or your culture to share them with one another. We may even find some wisdom sayings that repeat across cultures. The common sense nature of much of the wisdom sayings in Proverbs paints wisdom as something universally accessible to all of humankind, if only we pay attention to what wisdom is telling us. But to tell you the truth, unless you are completely on the side of perfect righteousness, some of these sayings can be a little sing-songy and even annoying. They remind me of a cartoon I loved as a girl in a magazine for children called Highlights, Goofus and Gallant. Goofus and Gallant was developed by a child psychologist to teach children basic social morality. Goofus was always bad. Gallant was always very good. Goofus bosses his friends around. Gallant sits and asks his friends, "What would you like to do next?" Goofus opens a package that is meant for Grandma. Gallant carries grandmother's package unopened to her. Goofus plays with fire. Gallant sits next to the hearth and says, "I must not play with that." When I got my hands on the Highlights magazine, I would always flip first to that cartoon to see what Goofus was up to this time. The Chicago Tribune did an article on Goofus and Gallant when the cartoon turned 60 years old. The article suggests that the young new readers identified more with Goofus than with prim, goody-two-shoes Gallant. Goofus simply had more fun. Kent Brown, the editor of Highlights, said this: "We couldn't have Gallant without Goofus. Without Goofus, Gallant would be bland and no one would pay attention. But kids see parts of themselves in both characters. No one is as good as Gallant, and no one is as bad as Goofus. But being more like Gallant is something to strive for." The truth is, we are all flawed people of God, and we are sometimes drawn to the more delicious mishaps of Goofus than the straight and narrow path of Gallant. Perhaps this is why, in Proverbs 8, verse 2, wisdom takes her stand at the crossroads. The crossroads is a point of meeting for people going in different directions. It is a place of coming together, even when paths diverge. Here, wisdom chooses to take her stand, not on the path where everyone already heads in the same direction. At the crossroads, wisdom has the power to change and transform minds at the meeting of ideas. There's a great cathedral in Istanbul, Turkey, called the Hagia Sophia, which means holy wisdom. Built in 537 as a basilica for the Greek Orthodox Church, it was later turned into an imperial mosque in 1453 when the Ottoman Turks conquered the city. Today, the Hagia Sophia is a museum, and you can see the layers of history on its walls, which reveal mosaics of Christian icons in spots where the Arabic calligraphy has chipped away. Istanbul, located on the Bosphorus waterway, which literally separates the continent of Europe from the continent of Asia, has been a crossroads in many different eras. It is a meeting place of continents, of cultures, of languages, of religions, and ideas. Last Sunday after worship, two Muslim women approached me. They represented the Peace Islands Institute, which seeks to promote interfaith dialogue and understanding and to find places where people of different faiths can work together on commonly held ideas about justice. These women asked if our church would like to participate in an interfaith iftar dinner. An iftar is a meal at the end of the day during the holy fasting month of Ramadan. There is a community of Turkish Muslims in the area, and they would like to prepare and share this dinner with us. I am in conversation with Session about this idea. Such a dinner could be an important crossroads for us. It would be an opportunity to practice the kind of hospitality Jesus taught, in which we are learning to share with one another to a broader community, even as they share hospitality with us. To share that sort of mutual welcome subverts the anti-Muslim rhetoric that has become normal in our post-9/11 era. This country, which was founded on principles of religious freedom, now has would-be leaders spitting rhetoric that would eliminate an entire group of people based solely on their religion. The categorical assessment of Islam as intrinsically violent has no basis. The word Islam comes from the Arabic word salam, which means peace. Muslims dedicate their lives to peace or submission before God. In many years of interfaith work, I have made Muslim friends who have the same hopes and dreams for their lives as we do. Education, opportunities for good work, a home where they can raise their families in safe, caring communities, and a place where they can freely practice their beliefs. I've also found that interfaith dialogue helps church people to become wiser to what it means to be a Christian. Here in this country, Christians are still part of the dominant norm. The privilege that comes with being part of the dominant norm is that you never have to think about or defend what it means to be you. It is already assumed. If we enter into interfaith dialogue at the crossroads with these Turkish Muslims, we will find that we will be asked to share the stories of our faith and why they matter. At the crossroads of our faiths, we find a center meeting ground, and from there can better see the direction each road takes. The Trinity is kind of a crossroads. It is God in relationship. We could sit alone and dream up who we suppose God to be. We could fill the glass jar with even more names. We may go on a quiet walk and find God in nature. We may meditate and discover a divine presence deep within. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things. Actually, all are important ways to nurture an intimate relationship with God. But for us Christians, we also have to meet at the crossroads. We each bring a picture of who God is and hold it up alongside our brothers and sisters with their pictures of who God is. Looking around, our vision changes. And at the crossroads, we find a composite understanding richer than anything we could have come up with on our own. We discover, as we followers of Jesus come together, the body of Christ. And even though what we bring to that body, what we each bring, has its own brokenness, together, somehow, when we are all bound together, we become strong. And here is where the part of the Trinity comes in. In God's wisdom, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God was born into broken human flesh as Jesus Christ. With the human eyes of Jesus, God saw the draw to be both goofus and gallant. With that compassion, Jesus came to look with compassion upon sinners and saints alike. And it is with the same wisdom that Jesus left the earth physically, but he did not leave us without a presence. Jesus promised in our gospel passage today that the Spirit of truth will come and guide you into all truth. Jesus promises continuity between what Jesus said during his ministry here on earth and what the Spirit will teach in Jesus' absence. This Holy Spirit broods over the whole of creation, over our lives, and loves us and calls us to wisdom with words even sweeter than honey. We need the wisdom that compels us back toward the goodness for which God created us. We have known spouses who cheat. We have known teenage children who come home reeking of things they should not have been trying. We have known people so self-immersed that they neglect to even notice the hungry, the homeless, and the poor. We have known people who text while driving. We have been these people. I do not have to give a laundry list of the ways that we flout wisdom's decrees. To you, O people, wisdom calls. To all people, not just the ones who balance their checkbooks, not just the ones who turn their homework in on time. Wisdom's cry is to all that live. We are not alone. We are in the presence of a rich communion. God, who is mother and father of us all, we have Jesus Christ, the Word, made flesh. We have the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us. And casting her presence throughout all three is Sophia Wisdom. In celebration of that Holy Trinity, let us welcome one another and whomever we may meet at the crossroads. Amen.